Avondale couple have just compiled a book which details the history in the village of the only English religious order. The Gilbertines were founded in 1131 and came to Cumbria around the year 1200. The Gilbertines and Ravenstonedale is written by Chris and Mary Irwin, and Chris is in our Penrith studio this morning. Chris, first of all, why were the Gilbertines the only religious order?
Well, when Gilbert set up the order, he did try to amalgamate it with the Cistercians, but they weren't particularly interested, possibly because there were women in the order as well as men.
Well, that was very unusual, presumably.
Yes, it was, particularly as he had joined houses. But I ought to add that although they were joined houses, they were separate monasteries and nunneries on the same site. There was no physical connection between them, and the only way things could be passed through was by a window which had a curved passage leading to it, so that the monks couldn't see the nuns and vice versa. I think really it was a bit of chauvinism on the part of the Cistercians. Certainly when he set up his rule for the order, he followed the teaching of Benedict, and he also incorporated some of the Cistercian rules.
They actually had outposts all over the north of England, but they were based in Lincolnshire, weren't they? How did they ever come to be in Ravenstonedale?
Well, the main house was at Sempringham in Lincolnshire, as you say, but Torfin, who was the son of Robert, son of Copsus, who owned the manor of Ravenstonedale, he gave it to the Gilbertines. This was quite common in that time, because obviously if you did a good deed like giving your manor, preferably someone one like Ravenstone out, Ravenstonedale out in the wilds, to a religious order, they looked after you and said prayers for you after you died.
So it was a kind of insurance policy?
Yes, pretty well.
What effect then did the Gilbertines have on this area?
Well, they ran the manor as a farm, probably with sheep. They would have lay brothers there, and in effect it would be run as a large estate. You would have four canons in residence when the thing was operating at full strength. They would then have a series of lay brothers. Now, the canons looked after the religious work. Their job was to pray for the souls of the people and the king, and probably for Torfin as well, and they also probably carried on instruction to local people. The lay brothers would do all the sort of daily work in the monastery, and they would till the land, and there were probably other people who worked for them but were completely unattached, sort of day labourers, this sort of thing.
So how much effect would they have had on the surrounding area?
Oh, quite a lot. Although it's overlaid by the later deer park that Lord Wharton put there, you can still see the basic shape of the monastic farm in Ravenstonedale. There are only about six clear references to Ravenstonedale in the whole time the monastery was there. But nonetheless, the evidence is there on the ground in the monastic ruins which have been excavated. And, of course, you can see traces of the fish pond, which is just at the bottom of Ash Fell. And we also think that the various humps in the parkland, which are described as pillow mounds, were possibly warrens for the rabbits.
There have been a number of excavations, haven't there, in the last few years to try to find more about the Gilbertines and what they were doing in Cumbria?
There have been two excavations on this site, but this, of course, was the only site west of the Pennines. There was an excavation here in the 20s, and then the more recent one. The boundaries of the present parish are the boundaries of the monastic settlement, although they did have lands outside in Malastang, at Teabay, and at Crosby Garrett. The land was laid down probably for sheep farming, with the fields nearer in by kept for crops, possibly even corn. Remember, the weather was rather warmer in those days than it is now. The lasting effect was the fact that Ravenstonedale still remained a separate community for many years. After the dissolution of the monasteries, it had its own court. It means, of course, that the church, until the Reformation, was in the hands of the priests rather than having separate vicars. And virtually all the village traditions do date from that time, from the fact that instead of having a manorial lord, with all that implied, the manor was run by monks.
So it actually gave the village quite a degree of importance, didn't it, by the sounds of things?
Well, I think it may have had some effect on the fact that a considerable number of people have come out of Ravenstonedale over the years into quite high place in the country. There's always been a very strong tradition of education in the Ravenstonedale area, long before it was sort of linked up with the rest of the country after the railways came.
Now, Chris, you and your wife Mary have put this book together, and it has illustrations of the church, and it has quite an insight into the history of the Gilbertines in the area and into the excavations and so on. How did you actually compile this book?
Well, the two chapters on the excavations were taken from the reports, in the first case by Edward Frankland, who did the excavation, with some comments from his son Raymond Frankland, the county councillor, who actually helped as a small boy with the excavations. The second chapter, it was contributed by Percival Turnbull, the archaeologist who was working with Cumbria County Council and took over from Philip Blackburn, who actually did the work on site. As regards the rest of the book, the list of sites has been compiled mainly by the Reverend Desmond Owen, who actually went round and visited every site. We researched where these were in various books, and Desmond Owen has been round and photographed virtually every Gilbertine site in the country, a real labour of love that. And of course the introduction is based on the standard histories of the Gilbertines and the life of St Gilbert.
Do you think that their stay in Cumbria is given as much importance as it should be?
Well, I think people don't realise quite how strong the monastic tradition was in Cumbria, though this is changing. A lot of land in Cumbria was owned by monastic settlements. I mean, not only the Gilbertines, you've only got to think of Shap Abbey, the discoveries at Dacre a few years ago when it was shown there was a very large settlement there, and the Great Asby, for instance. There is a grange which belonged to a monastery still in existence, albeit much changed as a farmhouse. I think, in fact, a lot of the Cumbria as we see it today does result from what the monks did up to the Reformation.
It's certainly a fascinating insight into one little bit of the history of the area a few hundred years ago. The Gilbertines and Ravenstondale's actually published on your own label, isn't it, Bookhouse, at £1.50. How can we get hold of it?
Well, it's available in local bookshops, for instance in Kirby Stephen at £1.50, as you say, or if you live too far away, we can send it by post for £1.80, just right to the Bookhouse at Ravenstondale.
Chris Owen, many thanks for joining us in our Penrith studio this morning.
Many thanks for inviting me.